Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Matthew, chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man among you is there who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable, then, is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there. Many followed him, and he healed them and warned them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentile. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope." As Jesus' ministry continues, we see him developing not simply his identity, but his doctrine. We saw in chapter 10 that the kingdom was at hand, and he sent out his town criers. We saw in chapter 11 that he identified himself as the one who had come from the Father to reveal the Father's will. And no one would know the Father's will unless they accepted the Son. And then it concluded with, in that chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." In this particular section of Matthew, chapter 12, that we read for this week, we see the continuation of this theme. But we also see the, I guess you would see, the way that the king is going to rule his subjects, or how it is that those who become members of the kingdom will be blessed by becoming a part of what God has to offer. A bruised reed he will not break. That's not part of the arrangement, except that I made it part of the arrangement. I'm sure probably Sybil knows where this came from. I think this is King Tut grass. And I pulled it out. Sybil, I apologize. I did literally cut this off from out front. But I pulled it out by way of an example, because reeds are of the grass family. And a reed can be a multiple of types of grasses. But they generally grow, as you know, in marshy places or close to water. Bulrushes are a type of reed. Wayne's cane, bamboo is a type of reed. Papyra of the Egyptian making, where they made sheets that they could etch then with writing and save those in their libraries. Papyra is a reed. It's basically just a large grass. And you get to looking at bamboo forests in some of the Asian countries, and you can say it's a giant kind of grass. But reeds are spoken of throughout the scriptures. In fact, you've heard of the Red Sea. Do you know what technically the Red Sea means? The Reed Sea. Moses and the basket that was made for him, and then he was actually put into the reeds by his mother, and his sister Miriam watched over him. We have twice now in chapter 11 of Matthew, as well as now in chapter 12 of Matthew, reeds mentioned. What a reed often means is that which sways in the wind. And you think about the storms coming in, like the hurricane that came through. If you had a marshy area and the tall grass was there, the cane or the reeds would have been doing like this. And so reeds very often represent instability. And so Jesus' question when he said, who did you go out to see when you went to look at John? Did you go out to see a man like a reed blown about by the wind? And that was a rhetorical question. The answer was, of course not. And he later answers it and says, you went out to see a prophet, a man of God. But God uses that analogy in other places in the Old Testament as he was talking about his own people, Israel. He says in 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 15, the Lord will smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and scatter them beyond the Euphrates, because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. Now, in many states, these water plants, these giant grasses, are often viewed as noxious weeds. They're things that can't be transported from one state to the next without repercussions. Or they attempt to eradicate them. God says of Israel that they have become one who deserves to be uprooted. In fact, he says they're like a reed without any stability at all, and I'm going to remove them from the land that they're in and ship them back. Basically, he says that I'm going to send them back to the Euphrates, which is where Abraham came from. Think of the contrast. Why did Abraham leave Ur of the Chaldees, the Tigris and the Euphrates? Because God called him. And what did he promise him? If you will go where I send you, I will make of you a great nation. And through your seed, all families of the earth will be blessed. And yet here, by the time we get to this passage in 1 Kings, chapter 14, verse 15, God said, my people have failed to honor me. Rather than be established, they're going to be uprooted like a reed. And what was it that they had done? They had failed to honor God. Asherim is a portion of Baal worship. And what he's actually condemning is their idolatry. Because they did not abide in the Word of God and seek Him in all things, they will be like a reed, unstable and blown about by the wind. So we can see that directly God says, you cease to follow me, you have no standing. But Israel did other things that are mentioned in the Old Testament with regards to having false hopes. If you turn with me to 2 Kings, this is in chapter 18, verse 21. 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 21. See if you can figure out this reed analysis. Behold, you are relying now on Egypt, that broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. Now, I pointed out before services started the cane that Wayne is using, and this is, I think, one of those things that it's like, wow, the Lord does work in mysterious ways. Colleen said, did you call Gary and get him to bring one of his bamboo poles? I said, no, I failed to call Gary. You do have a bamboo pole or not? Fly pole? Okay. This is a representation of a reed that is strong, and maybe you've grown some bamboo. I had a dear friend in Mississippi that had bamboo shoots that were almost like his back fence. And I know why he raised them. He raised them because they reminded him of his boyhood when he would go out for a fishing pole. And he would chop off a bamboo shoot. And he could have a 9-foot pole if he wanted to, anytime he wanted to, and then replace it if he happened to break it. But you can imagine where this is quite strong. It's also been laminated some, but the joints in that show that it was a plant, that it grew into a... do you know how fast bamboo grows? They can grow a foot and a half in 8 hours. 3 feet in a 24-hour period. That's pretty fast-growing stuff, isn't it? Do you remember Johnson grass? And if you ever have to pull up Johnson grass, it seems to have the same prolific characteristics as bamboo does. But the problem here that God says of Egypt is they're not stable. Gary said that he remembers a rod being used against him. Can you imagine having a support like that that was not strong? And you lean your hand upon it, and instead of it supporting your weight, this is rather painful to imagine, but this is the analogy that God is using. You have leaned upon the king of Egypt, and he has broken so that that staff now has pierced through your hand. And that which you thought might be your security has become your direct detriment and has caused you a grievous wound, possibly even unto death. Read it again with me, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Behold, you are relying now on Egypt, that broken reed of a staff, which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it. Such is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who rely on him. The first illustration was having gone into idolatry. They were like reeds being blown. This second illustration is that by making treaties with foreign nations and relying upon them for your peace and security, you have neglected to honor God as you should. This is a little hard for us to understand in the day of the United Nations. And we think of that as being something that's great and progressive, and that any nation needs to rely upon other nations. But when it comes to relying upon them at the neglect of honoring God, God says it's foolishness. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't live at peace with all men and do our best to avoid war. But when I set aside God in order to be at peace, then I have leaned upon that which will ultimately destroy me, a broken reed of a staff. And so these are somewhat negative, aren't they, in their analogy? But God is basically saying, trust me. I have written out on the marquee, Jesus is gentle enough to not break a bruised reed. Now, I want you to imagine a bruised reed. What would that mean? That's a stalk of grass that has been bumped against and is in a very weak, precarious position. In fact, probably the slightest little breeze that comes along would break that over. Isaiah says that in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3. We're not going to go there, but go back with me to our reading because it's a quote from Isaiah 42. I say we're not going to go there yet. We are going to Isaiah 42. At least that's my plan. And look again at verse 20. In speaking of the Messiah, a bruised or battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out until he leads justice to victory. Is life hard? Do you face challenges? Are there times when you feel low, discouraged? Do you sometimes sense, or at least get a feeling, that it's not going like it should? And perhaps your spirit is just kind of in a damaged state. Look at what the Messiah has to offer. A bruised reed he will not break off. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 24, that all flesh is like grass that withers, and the flower of the grass, which falls off. That's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. What that says is, in our state, in our condition, man is frail. How long do we live? 70 years plus, if we're blessed. But we know what? We're terminal. We're mortal. This life can't be all there is, or we would be hopeless. But we do have hope, don't we? We sang the song, I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Think about the positive concepts of what the psalmist said and what's repeated for us in that song with regards to our relationship with the Father in light of what life, the reality of things, is all about. And what does Jesus have to offer to his disciples? Hope. We've already seen the analogy of truth because they were like reeds blown in the wind with their idols. God is firm. He represents truth. We've seen the idea of support and security with the broken reed of Egypt, not being something worthy to be leaned upon, but God is. And now we see God saying, and I will offer hope to the hopeless. Jesus is gentle enough to not break a bruised reed. I believe when we become despondent, if we'll but turn, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lean upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your souls. Do you know what God is offering? Wholeness of the spirit, of our focus. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be fine and you'll never have any more problems. What it does mean is trust in the Lord. A bruised reed he will not break, no matter how frail you are psychologically. Christ offers hope. No matter how discouraged you are with life, there is that in Christ which delivers. I believe the bruised reed is God's people whenever Satan has done his worst. It could be sin that you're struggling with. It could be a lack of relationships here upon this earth that console you. It could be poverty. It could be disease. It could be war. It could be a hurricane. There's any number of things that can come our way and cause us to feel like, oh, man, I just don't know if I could go on. Have you ever looked at this passage in light of the fact that God is promising his followers trust, guidance, security, hope? A bruised reed he will not break off. No matter how weak a person may be, what does God offer through his Son? Justice will have victory, cleansing from sin, and hope of eternal life. Let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 42. And what I want to do is to read the passage again that we have recorded for us here in Matthew 12. And if you don't have a cross-reference yet, in Matthew as well as in Isaiah 42, just cross-reference Matthew 12, 17 through 20 with Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. And that way, whenever you see it again, you can go back and forth. And what that does then also for you in Isaiah chapter 42 is it allows you to put that messianic prophecy symbol, that big M, beside this passage, because you know it's going to be quoted in Matthew 12 by the Holy Spirit and say, this is that which represents the Messiah, which is what the M stands for. Beginning with verse 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. A little different phraseology. It even has within its connotations that Christ himself will not become discouraged with the things that he has to experience while he's here on the earth. He won't be crushed or disheartened. You ever looked up to somebody that's gone through worse than you and taken an example from them? I hope you have, because I believe that's why God allows certain ones who are strong to be persecuted and to suffer, just as Christ did. so that they might set an example to others who are enduring things, perhaps not to that level, but still enduring things, and say, if they can do that and come through faithful, then I will be true to God. Can you say Job and his friends? Job was a sermon to the doubting friends that surrounded him. He was the one who set the example of righteous suffering. Behold the patience of Job. Well, here the writer of Isaiah says that the servant of God, the beloved one, who has the Spirit of God resting upon him, will not be crushed or disheartened, but he will remain true. And what God was saying is, do what you will, Satan. You'll not get him to trust in you. His roots are firmly planted in me. He'll not be shaken. He'll not be that which is unstable. But in the process, he says he will offer hope to whom? Look at this word in my version, verse 4. And the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. I thought, now that is an interesting euphemism. The coastlands. Now we know in the New Testament, how's that translated, at least the general thought? The Gentiles. The Gentiles will turn to the Lord. And so the coastlands, well, maybe he's talking about those. And it's a very simple word in the Hebrew. And most of the time when it's used in other passages of Scripture, it means literally that. Those which are on the coast, or those who live on islands. It can also be interpreted islands. Will trust in the Lord. Let's let Isaiah interpret Isaiah, okay? Let's go to chapter 11 of Isaiah. Turn with me there. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. Put it in context. Look for the word, the same word in your version. In mine, it's going to be coastlands. It may not be the same one in yours. But coastlands are going to appear again, starting with verse 11. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with his hand the remnant of his people who remain. From Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he will lift up a standard for the nations and assemble the banished ones of Israel and will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, you saw that it's interpreted there as islands of the sea. But in the context, it's actually pointing to the dispersion. Remember what God said of Israel? Because they built their idols, I will send them off to the river Euphrates. I will uproot them and they will no longer be. Here is a prophecy that is saying, there will come a day when God will gather his people from all over. And he mentions all those countries, and then he says, from the islands of the sea. And what you see happening is coastlands become synonymous, or the islands of the sea becomes indicative of the dispersed ones. So that Gentile can also be translated nations, even in the passage there in Matthew chapter 12. What was the promise God made to Abraham? And through your seed all nations will be blessed. What's that blessing? It's Christ. Christ will not only not break a bruised reed. Listen to me. He offers hope not just to all peoples, but to every one who finds themselves outside of the protection of God. That's the implication here, that he offers hope to the coastlands. He offers hope to those. Turn with me to one more passage in Isaiah. This is from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1. Coastlands, listen to me in silence, and let the peoples gain new strength. Let them come forward, then let them speak. Let us come together for judgment. What's God doing? He is certainly calling all people into account. But what does he offer before the judgment day? Hope. Salvation. The proclamation from one who is compassionate and gentle enough not to bruise or to break a bruised reed. is also one who will establish any from any nation who would but come unto him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you trust God? In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 40, Ezekiel is witnessing the development, the blueprints, and the measurements of the New Jerusalem. And we believe it directly relates to the New Jerusalem in Revelation, because this Jerusalem that was measured by the angel type being that Ezekiel is watching was never built on earth. It doesn't have the same dimensions of the Temple of Solomon or the Temple of Herod. It's just not the same. And so it is indicative of the heavenly Jerusalem. But that man, what did he use to measure the city with? Its length, its breadth, even its height. A reed. A measuring stick. And you read it in its simplest form, and it said that it was 6 cubits in height. A normal cubit is 18 inches. 6 cubits would be a 9 foot. Have you ever used a stick, a straight stick, to do measurements with because you didn't have a measuring tape? You figure out how long something is or how tall something is, and then you go out and you measure things with it. Imagine this 9 foot rod. Technically, probably, because it says that it was a ancient measurement, you add a hand breadth to the 18 inches and you get 3 more inches, and probably the actual length of that rod or reed was 10.5 feet. 21 inches per cubit rather than just 8. But I got you thoroughly confused. Technically, it's all visual. And what does it represent? That measuring stick was the rod by which God would build his city. The blueprint, the standard, the guide. And so we have the picturing of a reed, no longer in the manner of instability or even probably insecurity, or perhaps that which would represent trusting in something that failed. And all of a sudden, the reed now is becoming that which represents truth. Christ was hanging upon the cross. What did they use to hold up the sponge filled with vinegar? A reed. Do you think that was coincidental? Here it is. A reed which often represented the staff of the Egyptians, the scepter, that which was all power, being held up to he who is to be ruler of all the earth, and it was by way of degradation, to dishonor. I don't think it was lost on Christ at all. He would say, you may be using that as a sign that is supposedly showing that I am weak and in a state of suffering, but remember, he'll not be crushed. He'll not be disheartened. The scepter will soon belong to Christ himself. And so as we see these reed symbols within the scripture, the scepter of Egypt that was pictured there in 2 Kings chapter 18 becomes the scepter of God. And it says there, going back now to our passage in Matthew chapter 12, what will Christ be able to do? Because he is a compassionate, loving, caring leader. Justice will be what? Look at verse 20. A battered reed he will not break off, a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. Ultimate power and deliverance. Why, God? Because he cares. What I have to do is trust in that. Not like a child being blown about by every wind of doctrine. Now, Paul doesn't use the reed analogy, but it's there because we've seen it with regards to God's people being like reeds that are blown in the wind. Paul says there in Ephesians chapter 4, be not children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The standard by which we live by is the word of God. Listen to these words, also from Isaiah. This is from Isaiah chapter 10. Think of the reed analogies that we've used, and I think this passage will come to life for you. Verse 20, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day, the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, the truth. When will man recognize true strength? Hope, guidance, security, confidence. I can lean upon God and I will be secure. I will be supported. In fact, He will deliver justice to victory. Only in God, only in God is there consolation. Only in Christ is their salvation. All of those reed analogies go back again to that baby placed within a woven basket of bulrushes, representative of Christ. Soon to be the giver of the old law, but representative of the covenant that God would make with His people. Out of the turmoil of Egypt where babies are being slaughtered, God chose for reeds to be woven together. You've seen thatched roofs? Those are reeds protecting the occupants within the shelter. Have you ever seen a boat made out of reeds? The Egyptians used to make boats that they would pole along the Nile out of reeds. Things that you would think, no, you can't take grass and make things profitable out of that. When God is in control, He can take the most inconspicuous, innocuous, and even that which is undesirable and turn it into that which would bless. And so that little basket of bulrushes held that baby safely from the degradation that Pharaoh intended for it, and God raised up a great prophet. You know what Moses' name means? Drawn from water. Because that's what Pharaoh's daughter called him as she pulled him out of the waters. It's our name. He that believeth and is baptized, drawn from the water, will be saved. He that does not submit to the will of God will be condemned. Let's go back and finish now. 1 Peter chapter 1. I read you quoted you verse 24, but let's put it now into context. 1 Peter, I said chapter 1, I've been telling you wrong. Chapter 2, you said, I could never find that. That's probably why. That can't be right. I better get this right for the tape. 1 Peter, isn't it chapter 1? Maybe I've just made the wrong notes. It is chapter 1. Verse 24. I'll correct it on my notes. For all flesh is like grass. Can you say reeds? For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Frailty in man, like reeds blown, bruised, broken, detrimental, unsafe, insecure, death. Or you trust in God to deliver, and He will bear you up. Because the word of the Lord, trust and lean upon the Lord and you will be secure. Come unto me. Do you see the promises that Christ is offering to those who would follow? All you who are labor, and ye shall find rest for your souls. May no one take away from us, discourage us, dissuade us from following the word of God. It is the standard. It is the scepter. It is that which can be leaned upon, and only that which will save, as we stand and as we sing.